Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's look to the Lord before we begin. Our Father, we do love you. We do thank you, Lord. We do believe in you, Lord. We want to say together, we believe in your Son, that he died for our sins, that he took our sins upon himself, shed his blood for each one of us, that he was buried, that he rose again, and Lord, that he ascended to your right hand, and he gave us your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill us afresh today with your Holy Spirit. Amen. You said if we ask, Lord, that you'd give it, and we ask that you'd fill each one of us today, Lord, as we open your word together. Lord, cause it to be that food and nourishment and that correction. Open our eyes to see Jesus as we read, Lord. And may we leave here, Lord, having heard something that each of us that we can go away with, that you've spoken to us. So, Lord, we ask all this and look to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time I spoke, we looked at the story known as the Good Samaritan. And this morning is going to be like part two. We're going to be looking at the next story that immediately follows that story. And it is the story of two sisters. And the two stories really go together. They both emphasize the same truth, but in two different ways. They both emphasize loving others by knowing a loving God. And our last story of the Good Samaritan began with the account of a lawyer who stood up and tested Jesus. And we'll come to our story today, and we're going to find a sister who, instead of standing up and testing Jesus, is sitting down and listening to Jesus. So it's a simple lesson today, really. And I'm going to take around 35 minutes to talk about it, to discuss it, to what the Lord just probably said in 5 seconds. But it's kind of like this. I was thinking about this. I have a garden, and I got these different plants. And there's one plant that I really look at, and it does this. It has this really big tomato, and so of the garden, I say, I'm going to pick that tomato when it gets really ripe and full. And so this morning, if you don't remember anything, remember the one lesson that I'm going to tell about. And Jesus said, I was going to tell you one thing. So remember the one tomato, okay, the one lesson. Now, don't get this mixed up. I'm not trying to be like Cain and offer fruit, you know, that instead of the sacrifice. But there's one lesson that I want to get out of this morning. If you go away with the one lesson, it's like this big tomato. There's other fruits in the garden we're going to talk about, and I got some tomato on me. There's other fruits we're going to glean as we go for this one big fruit, okay? I already got someone, by the way, that's already asked for that tomato, so it's gone. Don't ask me for it. Okay, Linda, it's yours. I'm not going to give it to you until at the end, so you don't throw it. So, first, let's briefly review the story of the certain Samaritan, okay, so that we can tie the two stories together. So the Lord Jesus was responding to a question by a certain lawyer. He said, who is my neighbor, if you remember that story. And Jesus answers his question with a story, and in his story, he turns that question around to what the lawyer really needed to ask himself. And he really needed to ask himself, what kind of a neighbor am I? Not who's my neighbor, but what kind of neighbor am I? And that's what we discussed last time. What kind of neighbor am I? And we found a certain man on the side of that road in the story, and he was robbed by thieves. He was beaten up, he was stripped of his clothing, and he was left for dead. And if you remember, a priest comes by on his journey, and he looks at him, and he turns aside, and he doesn't help him. Then a Levite comes along, and he does the same thing. He looks at him, turns aside, and doesn't help the man either. but it's only a certain Samaritan who comes by. And he gives the wounded man EMT. He stops the bleeding. He bandages him up. He puts oil and wine on the wounds. He puts him on his donkey. He takes him to an inn. And so the Samaritan provided for his well-being and recovery. And he tells the innkeeper to take care of him and even gave him money and said if more is needed, he would repay when he returns. So the lawyer's response to Jesus' question of, Jesus said at the end, he said, who was the neighbor to the hurt man? And the answer was, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So if you really love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, then you rely upon him and not yourself. Your love to others is a response to God's love for us. It's not the cause of his acceptance of us. It's our response to his love for us. Loving others is an expression of truly loving God. So to live in love is to live the life of the kingdom of God. And we learned that we can be like that priest, or that Levite, and we can have more concern for our religious ways than we have for concern for others. We can have many excuses in committing the sin of omission. And we saw that religion and law cannot help the man who has spiritual need. And then we also, one last thought before we move on, we also saw that wounded, beat-up man on the side of the road left for dead reminded us of us before we knew the Lord. What man is in ourselves? The enemy has robbed us of our relationship with God. We're robbed. Sin has left us shamed. We're naked. We're uncovered. And we're in a spiritual state where we cannot help ourselves. And it took the Lord Jesus as that certain Samaritan, as that compassionate Samaritan, and as that good Samaritan, the one who was rejected like that Samaritan, it took him to come to us and not turn away and care for us and restore us at his cost. And that is just a wonderful picture of what the Lord has done for us. He poured on our wounds, on our sinful wounds. He poured on wine and oil. The wine of his blood has cleansed like an antiseptic, and the oil of his Holy Spirit has comforted like a healing balm. And then he took us to an inn, a place of restoration. That's where we are this morning. He put us in his church at his own cost to provide for us, and he will repay when he comes again. What a picture that whole story is of us in Christ and what the Lord has done for us, the Good Samaritan. So we understand that knowing how God has loved us and appreciating what he has done for us will affect how we love others. Knowing him, understanding him affects how we love others. If he so loved us, how we then ought to love one another. If we have been forgiven, how we then ought to forgive others. And if he washed our feet, how we then ought to wash one another's feet. So the next story that follows is related to this, and we intend to connect these two stories together. So that's our review of the last story. So now we're going to read, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read verses, 38. Let me get to it here. Luke chapter 10. This is a story that immediately follows the Good Samaritan. Verse 38 through 42. We'll read these verses, and then we'll look at each verse more closely. Okay? Let's read 38 through 42 together. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So there are three people in this story, and we're going to look at each one specifically this morning. First, we have Martha, the serving one. Then we're introduced to her sister, Mary, the quiet one. And then we see Jesus, the wise and loving one, and hear what he has to say. So we're first going to discuss Martha. Mary is next, but we're going to skip Mary and focus on what Jesus says. And then we'll finally come back to Mary. And so then we're going to go through this story: Martha, Jesus, Mary, in that order. Okay. So verse 38. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." I like that when it says, "Now it happened as they went." You know, Jesus was journeying with his disciples, and there is always something to learn. You know, the things that happen to us in our lives are opportunities by the Lord to teach us and to change us as his Holy Spirit leads us and his word, and his word is applied to circumstances in our life. So as it happens in our lives, the Lord is teaching us as you're journeying with him. So they came to a certain village, and there's a certain woman named Martha. So this tells us that, and when it says a certain woman, this is going to be the focus of our story here, this Martha. And there are three precious stories in the Bible concerning the family of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. So this one is found here in Luke only. Then in the Gospel of John, there are two. There's when Lazarus is raised from the dead. We come back to Mary and Martha. And then again in the Gospel of John, right before the crucifixion, they're seated at dinner. And then we find Mary pours out ointment upon Jesus right before that his crucifixion. So these two we see, this family, we see a number of times in the Scripture. And it says that Martha welcomed him into her house. She welcomed him. And doesn't that picture what must have been a blessing to Jesus, you know, what he desires, welcoming the Lord instead of someone opposing him, must have been a refreshment to him in his journey that day. One with an open heart, a believer. But even a believer can miss something. And there's something that needs correcting by the Lord in her life. And we'll see the Lord bring reproof, correction, and instruction by his word. And that's what he does with the word to us, huh? He brings reproof, he corrects us, and he trains us. There's a scripture on that. I think in Timothy. And then in verse 39, and then she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So we're going to skip this verse right now, and we'll come back to it at the end after we talk about Jesus. But for now, just note where she was and what she was doing. She was at his feet and hearing his word. And also note that wherever Mary is spoken of in the scripture here, we always find her where? At the feet of Jesus. In the different stories, you'll find her. And it mentions at the feet of Jesus. So it compares that to Martha in verse 40. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approaches the Lord and says, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" Have you ever been in a situation like that where you're kind of anxious about, you're really busy, especially as kids? Tell my mom, tell him to help me. You know, tell my brother to help or do this. You don't want to do it alone. It says, but Martha. There was a conflict in her. Perhaps that was her personality. Perhaps she was, you know, an A-plus personality, had this to do. Or she was just diligent. She had to do this. She loved serving. She wanted to do this. But she was distracted, and she was cumbered with care. She was dragged about. And another definition for distracted is to be driven about mentally, to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. Does that ever describe you? I know it does me. Sometimes you're just so busy about something, you're overoccupied with it. And she was distracted with good stuff. I mean, she's getting a dinner ready for the Lord. That's a pretty important thing. Needful stuff. You know, there's much serving, but this agitated her that she was doing it alone. She was too busy about the thing. And she didn't know that the Lord did care. The Lord did care. Jesus was the guest, and she got distracted from much serving. She saw this thing needed to be done, and then she saw that thing needed to be done, and oh yes, this needs to be done. And then she tried to express her love and service. I love you, Lord. I want to serve you. And then she reacted. It's all about me. It's all about me serving. It's about my focus on serving rather than upon the Lord first. She got her focus wrong. And then the woman whose concern was to make Jesus welcome in her house, she's now complaining of his carelessness. Don't you care? You know, it's like, it sounds like she's commanding the Lord. Tell her what to do. You know, she's accusing him. And do you ever find yourself telling the Lord what to do? Lord, this needs to be done. I know it ought to be done. This is how you resolve the situation. Lord, do it. You know, well, we'll see how the Lord responds to her. He responds to her very graciously. And, you know, we'll see. We're like Martha, aren't we? And the Lord has something to say to us. Now, I have a story about being distracted. Now, I may have told it to you, some of you before. I most likely probably told it to you before. But I'm going to tell it again because it's a good story. So it involves my oldest granddaughter, Lexi, when she was just a small child. And at the age where you don't know really the extent of her vocabulary, you don't know the extent of her comprehension, and they'll say something that just catches you totally off guard. So she's 16 years old now. She's our oldest. But back when she was very young, I forgot how old she was, we were watching her and her sister while her parents, John and Jessica, were away. And we had brought them to this Sunday meeting years ago. And we were on our way home. Now, Lexi's personality, she's very serious. And she's a very responsible person, even from a young age. Okay, so let's get it right. She's very responsible, very serious. And we're driving home now after the meeting. And she's sitting in the back seat, in her car seat, and I'm driving. And I'm, you know, here's a rear view mirror up here, and I'm looking at her, and I'm making these funny little faces at her, and I'm talking to her, you know, and because she's just an adorable girl, you know, and I'm looking at her in that rear view mirror, and she's back there. And she's listening to me very quietly, when all of a sudden, you know, with great seriousness, she points her finger at me, and she blurts out, "Focus, Grandpa, focus." I go, where did that come from, you know? And I was certainly put in my place by this little granddaughter. It's so cute. It was so funny. But the point was, I was distracted. You know, I needed to focus on what was important, and that was driving. And so too, Martha needed to focus on what was important. You know, the Lord had to tell her, focus, Martha. Focus, kind of like my granddaughter. And so in verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. That's a double you are worried and troubled about many things. Oh, how the Lord answers. He answered exactly what that lawyer needed in what the Good Samaritan did. He just knew what he needed. And he knows exactly what a sister with a big heart she had a big heart to serve, but she needed to hear something. And he knows how to handle it. And he knows how to handle it in our lives. He knows how to do it in a loving way. We kind of are, if it's up to us, we don't do it quite like the Lord does. And we should be learning that. But the Lord wants us to do things like him in a loving way. So he says, Martha, Martha. Perhaps he needed to stop her and get her attention. You know, when you say things twice, this double emphasis occurs a few times in Scripture. And it's always very interesting. It's very important when it's double. Martha, Martha, you know. And we know also that from the Gospel of John, later on, if you read the Gospel, it actually says these words. It says, Jesus loved Martha. And so we know Jesus loved Martha. And I mean, and how it's recorded. It says the Lord loves everybody, right? But I mean, specifically, it says the Lord loved Martha. It's recorded in the Scriptures for all time. The Lord loved Martha. And it says that. So it's just wonderful. We know the Lord loves Martha, and he gives her these words. He says, you are troubled, you are worried and troubled about many things. Now, worried is being anxious. And troubled actually means turbid. Turbid, that's where the word comes from. Stirred up. So many things were swirling about in her mind. The root problem was worry and trouble. Many things versus one thing. And we could be like this. This could be our personality, our tendency. But what are we to do? Now, I'm reminded of the seed, the parable of the seed and the choking weeds in Mark. It says, if you remember that parable, it says, now these are the ones, speaking of the seed, sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and it says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So there we have again, the cares of the world can choke. You know, cares, worry, anxiety. So there are many worthwhile cares that we can be worried and troubled over, but where do we place our confidence? What are we to do? Well, 1 Peter 5:7 challenges us. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. And so then in verse 42, Jesus tells her, he tells her, but one thing is needed. One thing. There's that fruit I shared as an illustration. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. He says, but. I'm just look at this little phrase here for a minute. He says, but. There's something more than just serving. She's serving, but there's something more than religious activity, but. And he says, but one, it's simple. There's just one thing. And he says, but one thing. So he's not referring to himself because he says the word thing, and he's not a thing. He's talking about one thing. What is this one thing? And he says, but one thing is needed, is necessary. Is important, is essential. And just what is that one thing? That's pause for dramatic. Get you to think about it. What is that one thing? Okay. So let's go back to verse 39 and look at Mary and just see what that one thing is which Jesus is referring to. So let's go back to verse 39. And that says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So first, notice it says, who also. Well, that meant she must have been serving too. She said, who also sat at Jesus' feet. So she must have been serving. She must have been helping Martha. And then Jesus comes and then she leaves probably. He goes, sits down at his feet when he comes. So she was doing something else. And so we want to emphasize the also. Not just serving, but she's also doing something. And what are the two things that Mary also did, and what do they mean? And why are these two actions significant, and how can they instruct us? Now, there's two actions, but they're referred to as one thing. They fit together, okay? Two things, but they're one. She sat, and she heard. And where did she sit? At Jesus' feet. And what was she listening to? Jesus' word. Sitting and hearing at Jesus' feet and hearing Jesus' word. Pretty simple, huh? She sat at Jesus' feet. So sitting is a position near to that person. When it says sitting at Jesus' feet, the Greek word, it actually means to sit down beside. Sit down beside. So it's not just sit, you know, she was sitting at his feet, but she was sitting beside him. It's a beside. She was where he was. He was close to Jesus. And it was also a position of rest. You know, sitting is you're resting. It was a position of a disciple, of a learner, of submission. You know, imagine the delight she must have brought to the Lord when she stopped what she was doing and she wanted to hear him teach and listen to the master teacher. And Jesus had an opportunity to teach her. What, you know, with all that was going on in the opposition of this lawyer, and now here's someone that's sitting at his feet listening to him. What joy. And it is joy for the Lord when you sit down, you stop your day, and you sit with the Lord, and you're with him. You're giving him joy. You're giving him pleasure by spending time with him and allowing him to teach and instruct you. And hear him, yeah, and listen, and we actually hear him. And it says that she heard his word. Now, to hear is more than to hear a sound. It's to give ear to a teaching. It was his word. It wasn't someone else's. He spoke, she listened, and she heard. And this would involve an open heart and a willing desire to obey what he was saying. There was an openness to him. So to sit and to hear would also mean setting other things aside, not to be distracted, focused on Jesus. And isn't that instructive to us? And isn't this not to, you know, here, I just thought of something. This is right now, I just thought of something while I'm speaking. Focused on Jesus, put this away, turn it off. Except, I don't know if you're like me, I'll read some stuff on the Bible, and then while I'm reading, something distracts. You know, there is that. So it's a challenge, yeah. You know, with this. Yeah. You know, it's a challenge, isn't it? But it can be distracting. So isn't this to be our attitude when we come to the Lord Jesus and we open the Bible? Or as we listen to a message from the Word, you know, we desire to hear him speak to us. Sitting at Jesus' feet, and the feet expresses location. It's where the person is. You know, what sitting at his feet is where he is. So for us, I mean, he is not physically here right now. He's not physically here, but he is spiritually. And I want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is with us and in us. When two gather together, two or more, the Lord is with us. His presence is with us. And so when we sit at him, we're sitting in submission to him at his feet. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor hears him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So the Holy Spirit, he's put within us. We all know this. And he dwells with us and in us. And then when we come together, it's just wonderful to share that the same indwelling spirit together and have fellowship one with another. And sitting also does not imply passivity. It's resting in him. It's submitting to him. It's bowing to his lordship over our lives. It's humbling ourselves before him, like we sang in that song. It's worshiping him and appreciating him. And it's believing him. So when we open the Bible to hear him speak to us, we listen with an open heart and we get to know him. And it changes the way we serve him and we serve others and we love others. And I just wanted to emphasize the importance of that personal reading of his word individually, intimately, listening to his speaking to our own hearts and our own minds. You know, we can add to that, we can listen, we can read messages, books by other gifted teachers, we can listen to ministry by gifted preachers, but we also need to have that focused time to sit with our Lord, him and me together, and where I can hear his word and him speak personally to me without distraction. He looks that for each one of us, wants to spend that intimate time. The other stuff are good too, but he wants that time. In John 14, it also says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," he said, "he will teach you all things." So when we go to the Lord, we can be confident he will teach us as we open the word before him. And it says, "and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And then the Holy Spirit will help us as we go on in our day. The Lord speaks to us. We go on in our day. And then those words, either that day or previously, come to our remembrance. And say, "oh, that's the Lord spoke to me about this." And so it gives that open communication between you and the Lord throughout your day. Psalm 119 says this, verses 102 to 105. It says, "For you yourself has taught me. For you yourself has taught me how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 119 says, "For you yourself has taught me." So when we go before the Lord, we sit at his feet, we open the word, it says, he teaches us. "You have taught me." And how sweet those words are, how sweet they are. And he gives us understanding and a light to our lives, to our paths. That's a good verse, Psalm 119. You could read Psalm 119, 102 to 105. And one last thing we want to say about Mary's position of both sitting at his feet and hearing his word was why these two actions are referred to as one. And we have two actions, the sitting and the listening. But Jesus says, well, one thing. Well, because sitting at his feet represents devotion, and hearing his word represents instruction. And both are essential. We can't emphasize one over the other, okay? For if I only have devotion and no instruction, then I'm imbalanced and I lack stability and direction. If it's only devotion. If it's only the word with no devotion, then I'm heartless and dry. But both devotion to the Lord and instruction by the Lord, together they bring this one thing that the Lord said is needed, both. And he didn't say to Martha that many things were wrong. It was just that she did not add to them the essential. I mean, he didn't tell her what was wrong. She just didn't add to what she was doing the essential thing. And Jesus pointed her to the essential, the one thing, the only one thing which was necessary. So Martha was to learn this immeasurable, valuable lesson that you must not only give, but you must take time to receive. she was serving, she had a heart to serve, but she had to take time to receive from her Lord. You must sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him, combining service with worship. Both are necessary. Psalm 27, one thing, going to this one thing that Jesus said, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, there's that sitting at his feet, beholding the beauty of the Lord. You know, when we're there, we're before the Lord, we our hearts just worship him. He's beautiful. And we can inquire, we can learn of him, we can be instructed. And then it says that Mary has chosen that good part. The Lord said, Mary has chosen that good part. It's a choice. Okay, so we must choose him. You know, we must choose to spend time at his feet and listening to his word. It's the good part of knowing him and welcoming him into our house. It's the good part, which is sitting at his feet and listening to him. And Mary knew the one deep secret that love cannot finally express itself in service. It must take the place of devotion and of discipleship. She had to have that devotion to the Lord. So in the first story, the story of the certain Samaritan, we're going to tie these two together now. The emphasis was on being a merciful neighbor, okay? Not just having the right life, but having a life that expresses itself in serving others. In this story, it's a little flipped. It says the emphasis is not on the serving of others, but it's on having the right life with the Lord. So if you look at these both stories together, you can see, we see that the hidden life with God is expressed as being paramount. It's the most, with its expression revealed in serving others. Life with the Lord and then expressing serving others. We can't do it without. And then finally, Jesus says, which will not be taken away. Which will not be taken away. He says, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So what does it mean that it will not be taken away? Well, he's not going to stop her from doing what is best. And here it is. Time with him will always be an addition to our lives. That word is eternal. It's incorruptible. It doesn't fade away. Time with the Lord is never, ever a detriment or a negative. I challenge you. There's all things you can do in your life. You can choose to watch this movie. You can choose to go here. You can choose to do this. You can choose this. And you'll think, well, that didn't, how'd that go? I don't feel that good after I did it. I'm not that much better. But any time with the Lord, I can't emphasize this enough, any time you spend time in the Word, any time you spend time with the Lord, it's always an additive. It's never a negative in your life. Why don't we do it more? I don't know. We're just sinners. You know, we think we're going to find something over here, something over there, but it's always an additive. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. It's always, brothers and sisters, there's never any time with the Lord that is wasted or lost. You didn't lose anything by coming here today. Maybe your laundry needs to be done, or you know, you're thinking, you got worried, oh, I got to do this when I get home. But don't worry, it's this time here was not lost. Other things can be wasted time, but any time with the Lord and in his word is always an addition to our life. So did Martha hear Jesus' correction? Yes. Yeah. Well, we find later on in the Gospel of John, days before the crucifixion, that Jesus goes to Martha and Mary's house once again. You know, he went to that house. That's where he found real comfort himself and blessing. And we find Martha, what do we find Martha doing, Ernie?
She's doing what she did at the first.
She's serving. She didn't stop serving, but we don't hear any complaints this time. I think she learned her lesson, you know, of the one thing that would not be taken away. So may we all, like Martha, whom Jesus loved, may we learn to choose that one thing like she did and sit at his feet and hear the words of Jesus as he speaks to us. It shall not be taken away from you. And that's the ripe fruit that I have for you today, that one thing. So let's have a couple prayers and